Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
Now, first off, why do you think children with disabilities are still being denied access to some schools, even though we do have a Disability Discrimination Act?
Oh, there's lots of reasons for that. I think two of the main ones are, first of all, that people just don't understand their rights. A lot of people don't know that that Act exists and that it gives those children a right to be enrolled in schools, including private schools. And then the other reason is that there aren't strong incentives for schools to enrol children with disabilities, particularly private schools. They're often run on a model of attracting students and presenting to parents a model of academic success. And if a child is not going to contribute to that, to that sort of image that they have, there really isn't a strong incentive for them to enrol that child and then to adjust to that child to provide it with the best education that they can.
Now, what are the actual rights that parents have in these situations?
Well, the Disability Discrimination Act sets out a whole lot of rights for people in all areas of life, all areas of public life, but it includes education. Now, what it also covers all aspects of education. So, for example, this issue has come up because of enrolling students. And if students are turned away at the enrolment stage, obviously they can't enjoy other rights with that school. So the initial one is that children do have a right to be enrolled at a school. And then they have a right to access their education in a way and participate in education in a way that, you know, gives them education on the same basis as other students. Now, that is also tempered by a school doesn't have to enrol and include a child where it would create unjustifiable hardship for that school to do it. So it's not just an unfettered right with absolutely no limit. There are sort of protections also for the school written into that act.
So if a parent did have a child with a disability who was turned away by a school, what course of action could those parents take?
Well, one of the interesting things always about having a legal right is that often to enforce it, you need to go through, you know, a huge, onerous, expensive process. And one of the things that's been done in discrimination law is an attempt to make it much easier than that. So both at the federal level and in each state, because both with the federal legislation and, you know, at each state level, there are discriminatory laws, anti-discrimination laws. You can first of all bring a complaint to a body that will just try to resolve it for you. So with the Disability Discrimination Act, people can contact the Australian Human Rights Commission and they can both get just initially get advice and get information about what their rights are. But then if they really believe that the issue can't be resolved directly with the school, they can ask for the Human Rights Commission to try and conciliate that dispute. And that is a much cheaper, much less formal, much easier way to go ahead. But certainly my first advice to anyone would be to try to negotiate directly with a school and try and develop relationships, open communication, and try to sort it out first of all informally. But to know that you have that backup of bringing a complaint. And then, of course, if the complaint fails, you can then go on and try to enforce your legal rights through a court or tribunal at the state level.
How has this worked out for other parents previously? Have there been any major successes, I guess, from parents taking legal action on schools?
Well, look, one of the really interesting things in this area is that also in order to protect people who are bringing complaints, they're completely confidential. So it's often very hard to know, and that has a good side, of course, because often things being confidential has benefits for people. The downside of that is often we just don't know. So all we get are statistics that show, say, from the Human Rights Commission, how many complaints they conciliated successfully, but we don't know exactly what happened in those complaints. And then, you know, other parents can't see, well, what was a success and what wasn't. So that's the big downside here, and it's one of the reasons why people aren't more aware of their rights. So I can't necessarily tell you success stories at that stage. Where people have brought complaints, have failed in at that complaint stage and then brought a case, there have been some big successes. And one of those cases years back was a lovely kind of outcome in a case that was called Finney and Hill's Grammar, where a young girl with spina bifida was rejected by a school because of the adjustments they'd have to make to enrol her. And she brought a case that was successful and that has been, you know, very important in the area in terms of establishing student rights. Where the cases have been trickier and have been less successful is for students where their behaviour manifests with behavioural problems. That's a real challenge, and that's where I think more research and much more effort needs to be put in.
And just finally, looking into the crystal ball a little bit, do you think any changes could or will be made in the future to reduce the number of schools turning away children with disabilities?
Do you know, it's either going to take law reform, which there's no sign on the horizon at the moment that there's going to be law reform in this area. I'd love to see that, and I would love people to, you know, inform themselves and push for that. And then, of course, sometimes it just takes really courageous individuals to bring the cases. Because sometimes just that one case, that one story that succeeds can change everything. So that's another possibility.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Tess. Thank you.